Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Martin Stringer.
How many of you here, and I'm not saying this facetiously, how many of you had your origins in the Church of England? Quite a lot of you. Okay. Some of you, you didn't. It doesn't matter. Now, I was just sort of, it was interesting. Kate brought a word on Thursday at the 9 o'clock. And it really confirmed what God had given me for this morning. And it's a subject which is very close to my heart because it's something I often struggle personally with to find and walk in, and that is peace. You know, we can have wonderful joy, we can have wonderful excitement, we can have a great time when we come together here on a Sunday or a Thursday night, but what do you like at home? What do you like during the week? What do you like at work? What do you like behind the steering wheel when somebody won't go very quickly along the seafront there and you're trying to get somewhere and they're doing about 5 miles an hour and you're thinking, come on, come on, come on. Does anybody put a hand up to any of that? Well, there's one or two of you are honest. The rest are absolutely, well, there we go. You're not honest. Somebody's got it. Do you know, in what I was going to say then about the Church of England Communion Service, if you're familiar with it, there's a point in it at which everybody turns around and says, we'll give each other the peace. Now, if I said that to ask you to do that this morning, what would you do? If I said, I want you to give Phil the peace.
Supposed to give him a hug on.
Well, there you go. That's one idea. Right, somebody who's been in the Church of England who knows what I mean by that, what would you do? Somebody like us to say?
Shake hands.
Shake hands. Precisely. What does that mean? Where's the peace in shaking hands? It might say, well, it's nice to see you. I'm not going to smack you around the face. You know, I'm not going to fall out with you because we're in church. What is peace? What is peace? What is it? That's what God put on my heart this morning. We're called to walk in it. We're called to live in it. We're called to be it. But often we don't. I'm not speaking something negative here. I'm speaking something truthful. Because behind the doors of your home and my home, we often do not walk in peace. That doesn't mean we fall out with each other if we're married all the time. But it means that things get to us that stress us out. Yeah. Work gets to us. Finances can get to us. Whatever it is, things can get to us that stress us out. Some of us, you know, are in a position where we can share stuff like that. Maybe those of you who get up to a 9 o'clock at Lamplugh or can make it, you share things like that. And say, you know, I'm really stressed with somebody praying. People do. And that is a blessing and a privilege to be able, gosh, it's getting warm here, to be able to be up at Lamplugh on a Tuesday or a Thursday morning. That is a privilege. It really is. It's not exclusive. Anybody can come. But it is a privilege to be able to be there. Because if you are going up in a bit of a sort of, you know, by the time you've got into the presence of God, it's gone. It's dealt with. And there is the secret. There is the key. You know, when we get stressed, when we're at home, when we're on our own, I wonder how we handle it. What do we do with it? You know, do we sit there and start going down the tubes and thinking, oh, crumbs, you know, and poor me, and poor me, and poor me, and poor me. God, why aren't you listening? Poor me, I'm feeling awful here, Lord. I'm feeling really sorry for myself, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. I've got no peace, I've got no joy, I've got no happiness. Please don't let Pastor Paul come round today, just in case he sees me as I really am. Some truth in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Some truth in it. I think I've got everybody's attention now. That's good. So everybody in this room then, including those of you who didn't put your hand up, actually all of us do struggle with walking in peace, if we're honest, don't we? All right, okay. I want to read a definition to you. All of you will have, most of you anyway, will have heard of the word, I'm sure you will, the Hebrew word, shalom. Yeah? There again, that's a greeting that often you hear Christians give each other, but it means the same thing effectively. Well, you think it means the same thing effectively, which is peace. It does mean peace, but it means what peace is and what peace embodies and what peace contains. It's not just, again, a greeting like give each other the peace. Nice to see you. You know, don't even say brother if you're in the Church of England normally. It's not a criticism. You don't. I've been there. That's my background. You just shake somebody's hand and greet them. Hello, nice to see you, sort of thing. And in a sense, you're imparting something. You're imparting niceness, I think it would be right to say. You're not actually imparting peace, because you might never have spoken to that person before. You might never speak to them again. You might hate their guts and not want to speak to them. So you're not actually imparting anything that's truthful. Challenging, isn't it? Shalom. Let me read this to you. This is what Strong says about it. I didn't make this up, okay? Completeness, wholeness, peace, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Now then, there's a bit more here. There is a root verb for shalom, which is shalam, and that means to be complete, perfect, and full. I only got to read a couple of chapters in Colossians, and all of that comes into it. He brought us peace by his death on the cross, through his shedding his blood on the cross. We are complete in him, and his fullness lives in us. So we're full, complete, and perfect in a few verses of scripture, and that is peace. Fullness, completeness, and perfect. Are you perfect? In the natural, no, not at all. Neither am I, far from it. But God sees me as perfect. God sees me holy. God sees me righteous. God sees me whole, sees me healthy, sees me in prosperity. He sees me abounding in love. He sees me abundant. He sees my life full and overflowing. Do I see it? No, not always. That's the dilemma. Why? Because I don't really, if I'm honest, say, know how to walk in peace all the time. Now, I know this morning God wants to minister some people here who've got a lot of emotional disturbance going on in their minds, and we'll pray for you soon. There's stuff going on in there that's been going on for years and years and years. It's on a repetitive cycle. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. And God wants to break it this morning. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you. And out of the fullness that God has been putting into us over these last months through Pastor Colin and Dr. James, we're going to release that in here again this morning. And it's going to break. It's going to change. Okay. So expect it. Expectation needs to be coming up. If it isn't, it isn't. Okay. Now then, this word shalom, I think it's a great word, actually. It's a lovely word, a very gentle word, isn't it? We think, peace, oh, that's so gentle. Oh, nice. I feel all good and gooey and lovely. Actually, it doesn't say anything about feeling anything at all. Absolutely nothing about feeling something. It's a state of being. It's something that's actually active and proactive. Peace is an incredibly strong thing. It's not a weak sort of rest back on your, you know, on your waterbed or whatever you have, or rest back in your swimming pool or your sauna if John's provided one for you, or whatever. Well, not that he'd provide it for you. If you've bought one from him, I should say, sorry, John. Well, he might provide it. You never know. God might just give him a word that you need one in your house or your garden, I should say. Okay, let's just take another look at this. I was just sort of studying around. This is sort of a bit more of a teach than a preach, but it's a bit of both, really. So get a hold of what God is saying to you, and then we'll do something with it when I've finished. As I look through the scripture, peace in the Old Testament was the word shalom. There's a different word in the New Testament which actually adds to it. It's in the New Testament word. It's almost pronounced Irene, which is where it comes from, the Greek word. Irene. Which is, again, it's completeness, harmony between God and men, men and men, and men and nations and families. So that adds, actually, to the shalom that we looked at. You see, when the covenant changed, everything else changed as well. Whereas before, the peace was something men could seek after God and find under the old covenant. If they look for it, it says, if you want some scriptures, Job 22, 21, Psalm 34, 14, it says, seek peace and pursue it, basically. And those who sought for peace, they found peace. Under the new covenant, it's a totally different thing altogether. Jesus, if you remember, John 14, 27, if you want to go to it, I've got a fair few scriptures here, so I hope you've got a piece of paper with you to write it down. And don't come back to me next week and say, I haven't got any peace. No, of course you can. I'm joking. Joking. John 14, 27. Jesus said this. He'd gone through this whole dissertation on him. Don't be anxious, verse 1 of that chapter. Don't be worried. If you believe in God, believe in me. He said they brought up to believe in God. And Jesus was, you know, was blessing. Jesus was sort of communicating in every way he possibly could that he was God by what he did, what he said, how things happened around him, yet they still really hadn't got it. I'm not going to go through the whole of this chapter, but you can read it for yourself. He then goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit, the Helper, guiding you and abiding with you forever. The Spirit of truth that the world can't receive because it doesn't know him. Okay? But we know him because he dwells in you. He then comes down in verse 27. He says this, right at the end of this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now, this is something different. I'm giving you something. Jesus said, I'm giving you something. Now then. No, I can't do this because she probably will do it. In my pocket, if I can find it. somewhere. Oh, I've got, hang on, what's this? Oh, yeah, that'll do. She's got a handout already. That's good, actually. That's right. Because when we come to God, often we're like that. Or like this. Claire actually did that. You know? And when we come to God, are we like that? Or are we like this? Or are we like that? Or like this, even? Or like that? Quite often, we're all of those things. And the peace eludes us. There's no peace. Because he is. But you see, I can offer to give this to Claire. I shall lose it if I give it to her, I know. See? And she takes that gift. But she could have done quite the reverse, and she could have said, not known me from Adam or anybody else, and said, no, thank you. Why on earth should I take money off you? I don't even know you. I'm, you know, a strange man coming up to me and offering me £10. I'm not going to take the money off you. But Jesus said this, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It isn't an absence of war. It's not an absence of things going wrong in that sense. It is well above that. It's a supernatural impartation of the presence of God into your heart and into your mind. Yes. You know, it's not just a nice feeling. I really must emphasize, peace is not just a nice feeling. There is a feeling that comes with it. Of course there is. There's a sort of a contentedness, a sort of sense of, well, God's got it all in control. It doesn't matter. And God wants us to walk in that. Because it is so easy to get wound up. He goes on, he says, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Now, some of you here have had physical heart trouble, and you know what it's like. The physical heart trouble produced emotional trouble as well in your mind. Fear, anxiety, all these sorts of things. What's going to happen? What if? All the maybes. Could it be? Do I have to do this? You know, and real issues come up out of these things. But Jesus is saying, peace I leave with you. I leave peace with you. What did the Holy Spirit bring at Pentecost? He brought fire. But he brought the promise of this peace as well. You know, joy and peace, whenever you see them in a scripture, they go together. You can't have one without the other. If there's no peace, there won't be any joy. You know, I stood up here last Sunday, and I wasn't very peaceful. And I don't think I was very joyful either. And Pastor Paul said to me, he said, you can't sing that song, Mighty Miracles, Martin. He said, you really need to get some movement. And I thought, oh, God, you know. Talk about the flesh dying and needing to die. It does, you know. For all of us to experience and move in the things God is just wanting to do with us, we've got to die. You know, me has got to die. My choices have got to die. I've got to say, God, okay, I give in and I give up. I can't do it, you know. I mean, standing here, if I wanted to, I could be terrified. I'm not going to, because I love you, and I know you love me, so I'm not terrified of you at all. You know, it says in Daniel somewhere, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm not afraid of your faces. They're lovely. They're lovely. All right, let's move on a bit. How do we get faith? It comes... No, not how do we get faith. How do we get peace? It comes by faith. Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through faith in Christ. We're justified by faith. Yeah? It's not something we do. It's something God has already done. It's something we say, thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You've done it. I didn't have to do anything. Didn't earn it. Couldn't buy it. Nobody could do it for me. Jesus has already done it. Going backwards a bit, this gift, Isaiah 9. In Isaiah, I reckon, is the dividing point where the scripture in the Old Testament starts to refer to peace as a person. I couldn't find it prior to that. Some of you were the spirit scholars, probably will. And you can tell me afterwards. But Isaiah 9, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53, verse 5, the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. All the punishment that we deserve was actually upon him, that we could have peace and freedom from enmity with God. Okay, so that peace comes by faith. Another verse for you, John 16:33. Jesus told the disciples about the Holy Spirit quite deliberately, what was going to happen to him all the way. It's worth reading these chapters from about John 13 onwards if you want to. There's so much in there about what Jesus was going to come and provide and bring. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me, okay, not apart from me, but in me, which is where we are when we become a Christian, we become in Christ, and Christ comes in us. So there's that, and it becomes one. Now, I've got two hands there, but if the hands melted together, that is us in Christ and Christ in us. Yeah? Do you get that? In me, you may have peace. in the world, you will have tribulation. Guaranteed. If we're going to walk without Christ and walk outside of Christ, we will have tribulation. Bible says so. Stuff will go wrong, in other words. Things will go pear-shaped. Things can often still go pear-shaped, even walking in Christ. But how do we respond? We can say, Lord, you said to me that in you I have peace.
Yes.
I choose to receive that peace. I choose to take hold of that peace today. Some of you are sitting here thinking of a situation, a change of circumstance, whatever it is. You're thinking, is it going to work? What's going to happen? Will this happen? Will this person receive this from me? Will they like that? Some of you here are in financial difficulty and you're saying, constantly runs in the back of your mind, are we going to survive this? God is saying, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Speaking of prophesying that over you, whoever that is, you are going to survive and more than survive because God's will for you is peace and prosperity.
Yes, right.
Take hold of it. You can't see it, but it's there. God said it and it's here. So peace for you by faith. Peace is a lifestyle. What does Romans 8, 6 say? I don't know without looking it up. I can't remember. So we'll have a look. She's laughing at me here. For to be carnally minded, sounds horrible, doesn't it? Is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's good, isn't it?
Yes.
It's good. In other words, if we choose to do what we want to do and do it our way all the time and just please ourselves, we're going to die, and everything around us is going to die. Our Christian life will die. There'll be nothing there worth having. It'll all be stress, 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 and more stress, just to add to it. You can choose, or we can be spiritually minded, i.e., turn the way we think. This is where it starts to become active now. How does God think about this? What's the Bible say about this? What does the Word of God say? How do I deal with this particular situation? How do I walk in this peace? Allow your mind to be changed. What does it say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? You could go there as well if you want while we're there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
This thing here has to be renewed by this here. Nothing else will renew this. It has to be like that.
Yes.
It really does. This thing has to sit on top of me, inside me, and if I were to stand on it, I'd leave some dirty footmarks on it, so I won't do that. But this, the content of this book, the one who is the content of this book, has to consume me. When God was talking to us about fire this morning, that's exactly what fire does. It consumes.
Yes, that's right.
It consumes all that is impure. You know, in its path, I expect all of us have seen stuff on TV when that oil place went up down in near Hemel Hempstead a year or so back now. It was a horrendous fire down there, and it took them over a week to put it out. It just consumed everything. Even the metal tankers that the stuff was in melted. You know, when the fire of God comes, we melt. We die.
Yes.
The carnal in me dies. And the spiritual comes up. You know, if you've seen it on the telly probably, or you've been somewhere where there's been a fire, like up on the moors. Have you seen what happens at a moors fire? It's black. And you go again in a week, there's green shoots coming up everywhere. All over the place, there's new life there. What's that got to do with peace? Everything, because it's to do with renewing this. If we want to walk in the peace of God, the way we think about God, about life, has to change.
Yes.
Because most times, the way I think about a situation or the way I respond to it is not God's way at all. It's carnal, if I'm honest. You think, oh, you're the pastor. Yeah, I am. But I think if I asked Pastor Paul the same thing, he'd say the same thing too. But that's the good thing about it. You see, the positive part of that is, it means I've got to go to God then. And God says, good, he's coming to me at long last. He's learning the lesson. He needs to come to me to deal with this. Because he wants to walk in peace. He wants to be a man of peace. Okay, it's a lifestyle, it's a command. In Luke 2:14, the angels declared peace on earth. They didn't say, oh, peace on earth. Peace, it was a command. They were commanding something from heaven to come and strike the earth. At that time, it wasn't just a one-off event. It was to come and it was to stay. You know, this kingdom we have is a kingdom of peace. Of course, it's a kingdom of power, authority, but it's a kingdom of peace as well, which means it rules. It's a peace that will rule. It's a peace that will reign. It's a peace that drives forward the kingdom of God. It's not just this sort of insipid thing that makes you, it makes me feel goosebumps. It's horrible. That is not peace. That's just a counterfeit. That's almost carnal, in actual fact. Peace is proactive,
yes.
Totally proactive in every way. It deals with that which causes unrest. It deals with anxiety. If we choose to let the peace of God come in, speak peace over your life. Speak peace over your circumstances. Command it. You have authority. So do I. Let's command peace where there is unrest in our family situations, where there's perhaps unrest with our neighbours, or all these practical things. Command peace. We have the authority to. Why? Because we are kings and priests. We have been given authority to command it. It's a continuing flow from God. If you look at Isaiah 48, I'm going backwards slightly here. I want to turn something that sounds negative into a positive, because really the opposite of what God said here to them would have happened had they listened to God. And you could really typify this as that we could be a little bit like this. Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You see, that is possible. In the new covenant, we have that. We've got that. In the old covenant, they didn't heed the commandments and they didn't have the peace God was promising. It could have been, God says, you could have had it. You could have had this peace flowing like a river. What did Jesus say? John 7:38. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes. God is creating and moving out a river out of this church. There is coming a river of life out of this place that is going to take peace, ruling authoritative peace, to your neighbours, to your friends, to your relatives, to your families, to your villages, to where you live. That peace is going to come. It's going to bring healing. It's going to bring deliverance. It's going to bring freedom, because it's the kingdom of God, because it's coming with the authority of the Prince of Peace. And you're in him and he's in you. So you are a Prince of Peace. My, isn't that awesome? Gee whiz. Didn't realise that before. Just seen that. My goodness. Peace is a calling. So it's not a choice. 1 Corinthians 7:15 says, we are called to peace. Let's have a look to read it. All this might seem a little sort of factual to you, but sometimes we need to present the truth with what God says about it and then get hold of it. Then we've got no excuse, have we? We can't just say, oh, well, I didn't know. Well, you will do after we finish with this. Okay. What's funny, Donna? Can we all share it? No? No? Now then, this is talking about unequally yoked believers and marriage vows and everything else. But he says right at the end of verse 15 in this chapter, God has called us to peace. So even in that situation where your partner is an unbeliever, then God is saying, live in peace. Live in peace. And that's a real situation. We're going to come into it more and more and more as we have contact with people. Live outside. There's nothing unusual about that to people who live outside. They're quite happy to live with each other. They don't know any different because nobody's ever shown them any different. They don't know God's ways. So we needn't be surprised or condemning when people come into the church, and they will, who have a partner, who live with somebody. It's going to happen. And God is going to need to be the one with such grace to open their eyes to see actually there's a better way. There's a better way. So, you know, again, peace. These sorts of things can agitate us. Think, oh, they're living together. They shouldn't be in the church. That's religion. That's not peace. That's condemnation and religion. God is saying, peace. You're a people of peace. You can't not be a people of peace because we've been reconciled to him through his death on the cross. That was the whole purpose of it. That was the whole purpose, to bring us peace. I wonder what's going on in your mind, some of you. Okay, it's a calling. It's a guarding and a ruling peace. Again, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. These are lots of scriptures you'll know. This is simple, because I only do simple. I really do. Pastor Colin says that, and I'm much simpler than him, I think. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Anybody anxious here today? You don't have to put your hand up, because I know some of you. In fact, I know most of you, all of us, are something, somewhere, niggling in there, is an anxiety. Yeah? Is anybody anxious about nothing? Come and see me afterwards. You can pray for me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because we are acknowledging that God is in control of it. He is going to deal with it. And I'm letting it go and releasing it. I don't want it. I remember years and years ago, a very dear man who was quite influential in my life as a Christian, he was talking about that verse in 1 Peter, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And he said, do you know what it's like when a fisherman, the meaning of the word is like when a fisherman picks up his rod and he casts it right out like that. And he got us all to stand up. He said, think of things and stuff that's in your mind. Might even get you to do this. He said, just throw it as far as you can throw it and then believe that God has taken it away and it's dealt with, it's finished. You don't have to think or worry about it again. Talk about powerful. It was amazing. A room full of people just sort of erupted in praise at the end of that because God came and did something with it.
Yeah.
So why on earth did I say that? Okay, it doesn't matter. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God. You see, God has an order about everything. Don't be anxious. Bring it to me in prayer and thanksgiving. Let me know what's bothering you, in other words. Come and talk to me about it. But be thankful. In other words, acknowledge that I am big enough to deal with it. And then allow my peace, which says here, surpasses all understanding. In other words, this can't actually cope with the peace of God. It doesn't know what to do with the peace of God. It has to just receive it.
Yes.
Just receive it. Say, okay, God, I don't understand it, but I'm receiving it. It'll guard your heart and your mind. Who wants their heart and their mind guarded this morning?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
I mean, some of the stuff that comes in our minds, if we were to actually air that publicly here today, we'd never turn up here again, would we? If we're honest. If we're honest.
Right.
Yeah? That's right, isn't it? The enemy is bombarding us with all sorts of stuff. Don't be ashamed of it. Know that everybody suffers with it. Because what he will do is to try and isolate you and say, it's only you. You shouldn't think things like that. But I'm saying now, everybody in this room thinks things they wish they did not think. It only comes from the enemy. We just have to learn to just cast it out and say, get out, I'm not having that.
Yes.
Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your heart and mind. Okay, another one here somewhere. I mentioned someone snoring then, or was that outside? No, that's alright. I thought someone was snoring for a minute. I've got another one here and I can't find where I am. You're not supposed to be laughing. Colossians 3:15. Yes, you can laugh actually, because it knows you're at peace if you're laughing. It doesn't matter, does it? And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Not just a personal peace for me, but a corporate peace. There's a corporate peace. You see, when God is talking to us about impacting Scarborough, impacting the towns and villages around it, you think, well, we're sort of, I don't know how many we are in here this morning. Have you counted this morning, Peter? How many are we this morning? About seven? Not a lot. Okay, not a lot. Well, that gives you an idea. Quite a lot. Okay, all right. Doesn't matter, actually. But you see, we're enough to make a very big influence and a very big hole in what the enemy is trying to do, which is to make people disbelieve that God doesn't exist. He's not necessary. You don't need the peace these people are offering you. You can find peace in your drinking, your sex, and everything else that goes on. God has sent us rubbish. I've got something far, way, way, way above that, and I want you to have it. It's already bought. It's here. It's a free gift. It's for you. You can take hold of it today. Now, even as a Christian, you can take hold of it again today, the peace of God for you. Okay. Peace is always relational. It's got to be, hasn't it? If you think about it, you can't really have peace with a tree, can you? The tree won't converse back to you. You can't really have peace with your dog either. I mean, it's good when your dog is at peace, but I need to use the dog because we have one. But I need to have peace between myself and Anne and Dave and Claire and Joan and John. I need a bit of peace, you know? Hence the whole thing, if I have something against any of you, you have something against me, get it sorted.
Yes.
Get it sorted. Don't sit at home chuntering around it and it runs round and round. Where does it run around? In there. In this thing, which we're trying to guard and protect and to know the peace of God that passes all understanding. We'll never know it if we sit and chunter. We won't. We've got to get it out and say, look, I'm sorry about this. You know, this was said or something, or I heard you said this. Is it true? Be gracious. God, I just need your peace. Bless you, Steve. We just need your peace. I don't know what he's taking the baby in there or his stuff. I don't know. God wants us to walk in peace. Wants us to walk in peace. Peace is a gift for relationship. It's a gift for relationship. And the fruit of it is what comes out. It's a gift for relationship. That's why God's given it. So that I can be at peace with all those that I see. Walk around. You know, you guys, it's just a privilege to come and see you from time to time in your home or wherever and spend time with you. There's always just that wonderful sense of the peace of God, you know, when we get together and we meet together. God just brings and imparts peace. And that's what we're to be, imparters of this peace. You know, it's great when we worship, it's great when we praise, but it can be a performance if there's no peace here. If you are honestly not at peace with God, then any amount of leaping around you've done this morning, in a sense, has been a bit of a waste of time, because you've not been honest with God. You know? And we need to be. If we want to see the fullness of God fill this place that we can't contain Him, we need to be honest and truthful about where we are. He is our peace, Ephesians 2:14, who has broken down the dividing wall. Now that scripture is actually relating to Jews and Gentiles and making them one and one new man. But He is our peace. You remember Isaiah, peace is a person. It's not a thing, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. It's a person. He is our peace. And we're called to live lives of peace. It's a proactive thing. To rule, to reign. And we've really got a choice. We can have the peace that Jesus offers, as He said in John 16:33. Go back to that. In the world, you'll have tribulation. In me, you'll have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. We've got those two choices this morning. To walk in tribulation, to walk in anxiety, to walk in fear, to walk in worry. Or we can say, Lord, I just bring all this baggage to you this morning. There is a lot of baggage in people's lives, lots of it. It's quite amazing sometimes when you think you've dealt with it, what God unearths is you seek Him. You know? It's good to seek God. Not so that He unearths the baggage, but it's good to seek Him because that's where the place of walking in peace actually is. There's anointing in this place this morning of peace. For a lot of you, because a lot of you are not walking in peace. I know you're not. In actual fact, I could walk around the room and point you out, but I won't do that. But you're not walking in peace. I believe God wants us to respond with that this morning. We're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you. And then when we've... Yes, I know, what's the time? Who's bothered about the time? Anybody? Great, praise the Lord, we'll carry on. We'll pray for you, because some of you need the peace of God. You need to know the peace of God, not just as a nice, not one of those, but a knowing that you are totally secure in God. That's what His peace does. It brings a total security, an absence of fear, absence of anxiety, of worry, anything like that. Whatever faces you, you know that's fine. God's in control. I'm not fazed by it at all. So, before we say any more or do any more, that's what we're going to do. I want to ask those of you who do want to be prayed for, if you'd like to come up and we'll pray for you. And the rest of you guys, perhaps you would like to just be in prayer for everybody, please. Can you come and join me, darling? What we're going to pray for first is for folk who just really need to know the peace of God, peace of mind. That's the first thing we'll deal with, and we'll deal with physical things after that. So if yours is sort of an emotional area, God, you're wanting God to touch it and heal it and restore it this morning, I'll pray for you first. And then folk who've got physical issues, we'll pray for you after, okay?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.